May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Wrong canticle, no big deal. It fits with the story anyway, right? Okay, here's a little bit of kosher trivia for you. What is the technical term for an uncircumcised Jewish person who's more than 8 days old? A girl. Oh, there we go. Well, continuing our series through our Savior's life, as inspired by the Life of Christ icon, we come to Jesus' presentation in the temple, as you can find on page 10 if you wanted to take a look at it in your worship leaflet. And along with the traditional circumcision rite, it used to be customary for all firstborn male children to be offered up to God in the temple for service or to be redeemed from service by means of sacrifice. So, for example, the prophet Samuel, if you've been following in the daily office, was offered for service by Hannah in the temple. And on the other hand, you have Mary and Joseph in our story today who pay the redemption price for our Lord. Both the Bible and the icons associated with this biblical story capture this particular event. Of course, this very well might have been just another matter-of-fact event. We know that graduations are pretty special in our culture for the families of the graduates. And for Olivia, congratulations once again. But they are otherwise pretty run-of-the-mill happenings. That's why you can go to Giant Eagle and buy a graduation card, but you don't really find too many presidential inauguration cards in that same section in the grocery store. In the same way, children and animals were presented to the temple to be redeemed every day. So what makes this milestone for Jesus a milestone for the rest of us? Well, the biblical passages associated with this event bring some unique insights. The lectionary readings for the Feast of Christ presentation, usually called the Feast of the Holy Name, commemorated on January 1st in our Western calendars, include Psalm 8 and the snippet from Galatians that we read today, alongside the Gospel account from St. Luke. The 8th Psalm is an extended reflection on the perennial question, how can such a big God care about little old me? The same God who made the myriad stars and planets, who is the commander-in-chief over the angelic forces of heaven, well, this is the same God who made humanity and gave stewardship of this planet into our hands. And then, if we apply that to Jesus, God incarnate taking on the ups and downs of being a baby and being a human, well, it ends up becoming pretty mind-blowing. Jesus is the one who rightfully should be taking on the care of this world. Not us unreliable human beings, but God is now man in the person of Christ. The one above the angels is now embracing a status of being a little lower than the angels. It's amazing enough to consider that the Lord cared enough to entrust the care of his creation to us. How much more amazing is it that he would take on our nature? St. Paul gives us even a little bit more reason to marvel. Jesus is the son of Mary and the adopted son, if you will, of Joseph. But Jesus is also the Son of God, who fills us with his very own Spirit. And that Spirit cries out within us, Abba, Father. Jesus' sonship has now become ours as we are adopted by our Heavenly Father. Don't worry, females in the congregation, about being called a son of God. Males like me are also part of the bride of Christ. Food for thought. Besides, the point of such images is spiritual, not strictly material. It's about relationship, not gender. So just as Jesus embraced being part of a human family, through him, we get to be part of a heavenly family. How marvelous is that? And then we get to the story itself. It starts off pretty normal. A typical bris with the 8-day-old Jesus as he gets circumcised. The Holy Family, they offer the redemption price, 2 pigeons, which was the poor person's offering instead of a lamb. And all that being done in the temple just a few miles away from Bethlehem, where Christ had just had a pretty eventful barnyard birthday. But 2 figures show up that transform this typical rite of passage into a milestone of major importance for us today. First, there's the old man Simeon, who has long been coming to the temple, keeping an eye out for the Messiah. In good, pleasant, elderly man fashion, he comes over to Mary and asks to hold the baby Jesus. And he blesses the Lord with the words of the famous canticle that we recite at evening prayer, the Nunc Dimittis. Simeon is assured that he can die in peace because today he gets to see the one through whom God is going to rescue his chosen people. Heck, even the entire world. And then comes the widowed prophet Anna, who was known for her extreme piety, daily keeping regular vigil at the temple, fasting and praying. And she's no spring chicken herself either. And she begins praising God over the promised Messiah now in their midst. Out of the mouths of 2 or 3 witnesses, right? So 2 complete strangers make a fairly public fuss over Jesus. Jesus is confirmed as the long-promised Messiah, and not just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. Unfortunately, we don't get any more insight into Mary or Joseph's response. We just know that after the presentation, the Holy Family heads home to Galilee, Jesus grows up with God's blessing, and that's it. We don't know if they were amazed, embarrassed, annoyed. We don't know if this was one of those pieces that Mary kept in her mental scrapbook that increased her faith. We don't know if this added more chutzpah to Joseph to make sure that they got out of Palestine quickly when they heard news of Herod's deadly plans. All we know is that the prophetic testimony of Scripture, together with the witness borne by Simeon and Anna, as Jesus' contemporaries, simply reinforce who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? In our psalm, Jesus is the one who perfectly lives out the divine calling to humanity to care for our Lord's good creation. In the letter to the Galatians, Jesus is the one who gives us his own spirit so that we might become part of the heavenly family. In the gospel, Jesus is confirmed in the midst of his formally becoming part of God's covenant people that he will fulfill the covenant promises for a Messiah, a Savior for Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus fulfills the divine stewardship of creation in ways that we never could. Jesus makes our adoption as sons and daughters of God possible. And Jesus is once again affirmed as the long-awaited Savior of all of humanity. Of course, just because Jesus is all these things doesn't mean that we're off the hook. Just because we can't take care of the planet Earth perfectly like Jesus as part of Christ's body, we are still should be taking our vice regency over creation seriously. Not simply pillaging resources and pretending that we have no responsibility to make sure that this world stays beautiful and bountiful for generations to come. Just because Jesus gives us his Spirit and opens the door for us to relate to the Father in a truly loving way as children of God, doesn't mean that we should keep living this life like spawn of Satan. Just because Jesus is the one whose life, death, and rising again secures forgiveness for the sins of the whole world, doesn't mean that we don't have a personal obligation to take hold of so great a salvation by faith for ourselves. The presentation of Jesus in the temple reinforces our need to imitate Jesus in taking care of the earth, to thank Jesus for how he's made it possible for us to be heavenly royalty, and to place our trust in Jesus for making good on the ancient messianic promises that we mine from the Old Testament. Creation care as co-rulers with Christ, gratitude as co-heirs with Christ, and wholehearted belief as beneficiaries of Christ's rescuing work. That's what the presentation of Christ should elicit from us. As we reflect on the readings and the icon this week that focus on this milestone in Jesus' life and ours, prayerfully consider one thing you might do to improve being a caretaker of God's creation. Take time to reflect on what being a child of God means to you, and offer God some offering that measures up to how thankful you are for it. And finally, exercise your faith with spiritual disciplines, prayer, service, scripture, sacrament, study, so that your trust and devotion to Jesus might grow. And as it grows, you'll see more and more how Jesus is mighty to save in every aspect of your life. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, at whose presentation your messianic mission was reaffirmed, help us to embrace your saving work with unwavering faith, to relish the new relationship we have with the Father by your indwelling Spirit, and to join in your divine stewardship of this world as part of your body. Grant this for your glory's sake, we pray. Amen.